This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and we want to hear from you. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Lost today 27-20. No Maurice Jones-Drew, no Cecil Shorts, no Cyprian, no Will Rackley. Was this game over before it even started?
Not really. I mean, the significant missing link was Maurice Jones-Drew.
Cecil Shorts
to me this season.
This team struggles to score points, and you take out their two best, not to mention Justin Blackmon, who's not playing either. You take out their three best offensive weapons, do they really have a chance this week?
You know, like I said, Cecil hasn't been a dominant figure like MJD. I mean, the guys, with having Mercedes getting more opportunities getting the ball, I think that was able to, you know, shoulder the load for missing Shorts, you know, with the plays he got in. You know, Mercedes had the big plays down the field, got into the end zone. So, MJD was the missing link. Even though Todman did a great job running, it's just teams, defenses know when Maurice Jones-Drew is in the game, there's an aspect of the game that you have to really pay a lot more attention to with Todman. Not to say that his effort wasn't great, but I'm sure those defenses, they weren't really scared of having Jordan Todman at the running back.
They might be now with getting 25 carries, 109 yards, 44 yards receiving. I think this game by Todman has spelled the end of Maurice Jones-Drew in Jacksonville.
I don't know about that.
And this
maybe
is why I say it, because beforehand, you had the figure. Maurice Jones-Drew is getting up there in age. When was the last time he actually finished a season? You know, again, getting hurt, that you don't know if he's going to play next week. I mean, with the Jags out of it, officially out of the playoffs now, they might want to shut him down. He is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He might want to go test those waters. Maybe they would have brought him back if the price was right, because there was nobody else. But if you see the emergence of Todman in this game, maybe he gets to start again next week, emerging a little more. What's the point of bringing Mojo back?
Well, you know, Todman did a really good job. It was just one football game. You have to give him a few more opportunities. You got to look at the whole body of work and what Maurice Jones-Drew does for this football team. It's not just on the field. It's the attitude. He creates and brings a physicality to the offense that Jordan Todman, I'm just not quite sure he does yet. Now, he'll give you the big play. I actually likened him when I was talking to another person to a spark plug. I mean, when he gets out there getting the open field, he can run past people. You got to have two running backs. I think having MJD and having Todman, two different style of running games, is almost like thunder and lightning almost.
Yeah, but for all the yards, all the Pro Bowls that he's had, it hasn't made many wins here in Jacksonville. Well, so do you really bring the guy back, even after the way Todman performed today, knowing you got that kind of skill? And, you know, I don't think you can trust Denard Robinson just yet. Yeah, maybe, you know, go out and get a guy in the draft, maybe a third, fourth round. We've seen some big third or fourth rounders. I mean, you know, like LeSean McCoy, he got drafted in the third round.
Well, there's one thing that at that position, you can never have too much depth, because you're almost assured that somebody's going to go down. You know, you got to continue to have a young running back or a running back on the roster in order, you know, to be prepared for those injuries. And when you talk about winning games, it takes a whole team. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew brings a lot to the football team. But again, you got to have defense play better. You got to have the offensive line. You got to get some wide receivers that, you know, right now it's like all slot wide receivers. Get Blackmon back, or maybe even another wide receiver, quarterback. So it's a lot of different things that the team actually needs in order to be a consistent, they have one consistently against the teams they're playing, but, you know, a real threat for the playoff run.
We want to hear from you. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's start with Dolores, who's on the way home from the game. Dolores, how you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
What you got going on?
Well, I was surprised that in the post-game analysis, nobody mentioned the fact that we had the ball on the one-yard line, first and goal, and you're in a perfect position to run it four times. If you can't make it 1 yard, if you run it four times, it was just I thought very, very bad play calling. And I'd like to know what you think about it, and I'll take your answer off the phone.
Sounds good. I totally agree. It's not the first time this season we've seen some short yardage goal line or short yardage, you know, third and one, third and two, where they don't run the ball. And I don't think it's the fact that Maurice Jones-Drew wasn't in the game, because you saw all game long, Todman was running in between the tackles, and he was picking up good chunks of yards. So yeah. I don't understand why they weren't running the ball.
Well, down there, you know, the biggest mismatch for anybody is Mercedes Lewis. And I was a little disappointed not seeing the ball go to him on the pass play. If you're going to throw a jump ball, you got, you know, the tallest wide receiver I think that was out there was Smith. Todman is only 5'10". You're throwing a ball to the back of the end zone to Todman. Spread Mercedes out and put everyone on the other side of the field. It's like, you know,
like they did last week.
Yeah, you got to play. I mean, I'm not so much caught up, because even if you throw a pass on the first play, you still got three opportunities, as long as it's incomplete, to still get an opportunity to run and punch it in. You know, defenses right now are stout enough to where, and they're sophisticated enough to understand what's coming. And they were probably playing the run. You know, when
they bring in the bigger guys.
They bring in the bigger guys. You got the linebackers closer to the deal. It's a lot tougher to get 1 yard at the goal line on short yardage than it is on a first and 10 run, when now, you know, the defense doesn't know exactly what it is you're going to do out in the field. It's a little tougher. So if you're going to pass the ball, get it to the guy that's got the mismatch. And Mercedes Lewis all day, I think that's what it was disappointing in that actual play call.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, Jonathan.
Okay, here's my take on things. I am a little disappointed, and I wish Chad would have looked where he was throwing the ball before he threw it, or if not, maybe tucked it. And then second of all, I think we need some taller receivers, like Kelvin Benjamin.
Or Justin Blackman.
that might help, because he'll go up and get it. He'll go over everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think they're exploiting their mismatches at the moment. And, you know, and that's what happens when you got guys out. I mean, like we said, Justin Blackman's not playing. No Maurice Jones-Drew. No Cecil Shorts. You know, you have to go to some unknown guy that you haven't heard of, mm-hmm. or you haven't seen a lot of. And when you're at the goal line, you want to go with the guys you trust the most.
Yeah, and you got to go with the big guy. You know, I'm going to give Henny the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. You know what I mean? Over those guys' heads. I'm going to say that's possible.
And
where he threw the ball,
short.
He just threw it a little short. You know, his inaccuracy, the inconsistency with the ball may just have hurt him in that particular pass play. But you got to get the ball in the end zone to the big 6'6 guy, at least one opportunity to him. And I think, you know, the first shot, you know, he ran a route right in the middle of, you know, he had two linebackers right on top. Even you could probably still throw it to him right there, because he's still bigger than everybody. He's like the biggest kid, you know, he's throwing the ball down low, post, turn around, dunk. That's Mercedes Lewis, man.
You know, or throw it into the stands and live to play another down. At least just give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I think offensive coordinator-wise and on Henny's part, between the two, it just wasn't a good decision.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Kevin in McClinney. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
You know, every loss is a tough loss, but I thought Jacksonville had some guys that, you know, their first game and they're doing well. But my question is, there's been some talk I've heard about that have the replays reviewed up in New York by a bunch of officials, mm-hmm. as opposed to just, you know, up in the booth.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard about that.
Oh, yeah, they're talking
and
about
also,
making it.
And also, why don't they have, you know, Jacksonville, I think, only has three cameras. You know, the NFL can just, when they do the contract, just say, hey, you got to have five cameras.
Yeah, you know, I think that has a lot to do with the nationally televised games. I mean, if you get a Sunday night game, a Monday night game, you're getting a lot more cameras, yeah. a lot more angles, as opposed to just one that's local. And
2-4-9 teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's a business, too. You got to realize
that.
Yeah, they're
going to send all the money to where the big, you know,
I understand
the playoff implications are.
Yeah, I understand this is one of the biggest businesses and most biggest money makers in the country, but at the same time, they still want to make some money. They don't want to be sending 80 cameras down to Jacksonville
Twice.
For a game that doesn't have a lot of playoff implications.
None.
I mean, I know that the Jags were technically still alive, but this game really didn't have any bearing on the playoffs.
Nah, just more so about the draft order.
Exactly. And, yeah, I did hear about the whole moving everything to a centralized location in New York, kind of like they do in hockey. You know, I think it's a good idea, because I think it takes any type of bias out of the game. I mean, you know, not to say that the refs can be biased, but yeah, as the game goes on, as things, they get tired, they get weary, as the way different calls go, you know, you always hear of, oh, that one was a makeup call. You eliminate all that kind of stuff, doubt.
Yeah, I sat up in the press booth with one of the official timekeepers, and he also made mention of how they go, you know, there are different areas where even with the clock, you got to have, you know, someone outside, not the home team all the time. They're people that handle the clock, the official clock, because you can shave off a couple seconds here and there, and it'll make a huge difference.
You know, a second here, a second there, even a second each quarter you shave off, that's 5 seconds. That's another play coming down to the other game.
Indeed.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Coming back from the break, taking more of your calls. Jags fans, score some great deals today. See your Southern Ford dealer, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Come back on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show brought to you by PRI Productions. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. The phone lines are already jacked up, so let's get right to them. Start with Robert in Palatka. Robert, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Marco said something about, you know, needing Todman to have more time to prove his worth and see how he's going to do. I was wondering, do you guys think that we're going to have any more evaluation process, like with Gabbert or Stansy? Are we going to see those guys anymore this year, you think, for evaluation purposes?
Highly doubt it. I think if you would have, at this point, you would have seen, like, I called for Stansy to come in, like, what, maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks ago? Just throw him in there. If he hasn't come in, he hasn't even been active for a game, so right. I highly doubt you're going to see him. And as for other guys getting a look, I mean, because of injuries and because of, you know, poor play of other guys, you're seeing a lot of these young guys. I mean, how many guys were in this game that you haven't heard of 2 or 3 weeks ago that are getting starts just because of injuries?
And I know a few weeks ago, you know, Coach Gus Bradley had mentioned that if he felt so, that he would throw Blaine into the game. So, you know, it's something that I'm sure, you know, the general manager there, these are the type of things they're contemplating right now as to who they want to see out on the field. They got enough, they have some film of, you know, Blaine. I mean, I think the evaluation of Blaine has already been done with the practice, the training camp, and the games that he has played.
When he was healthy and they chose not to bring him back, that was the last call for him.
They've seen him play, I think, at least with Blaine. They've seen enough of him and have enough film for a thorough evaluation to know what type of player they have with him.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Chris on the west side. Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yep.
I just wanted to talk today about the play calling that we had just the last, you know, minute or so of the game. I agree with you, Marco, about the play call. Should have been to our tight end, but the thing that I guess I'm really disappointed about is why do you think that we had a sweep play when we should have just, you know, run it forward? And I'll take your answer off there.
Well, you know, like I said, out in the field with Todman, you know, on a first down and 10 or a second and short, when you have just your normal defensive front or your normal defensive personnel. Matter of fact, if you bring out 3 wide receivers, now all of a sudden you're going to probably take a linebacker out and you're playing against nickel. Now all of a sudden, Todman and getting the ball and running in the interior on a draw or whatever type of play, it's a lot easier. You don't have all that beef in there like you do on the goal line or in short yardage when they bring in all your stout guys. They take the defensive backs out. They bring in extra linemen, extra linebackers. So running in the interior with a guy like Todman, I think with a little bit, you know, it's just maybe not as his advantage is going to be on the perimeter with his speed. Now, if you have Maurice Jones-Drew, it makes a little bit more sense to try to go straight up the middle because he has the physicality to be able to push that thing through. But the strength of Todman is his speed on that goal line. You know, going on the edge would probably been the best bet for him as far as getting the end zone.
Yeah, plus, and like you said, it all depends on the defense's call. You think you might be able to catch him sleeping in the wrong defense. Really all it comes down to is trying to evaluate your mismatches and then exploit them.
Yeah, so throw out the Mercedes and jump ball every time you're in the red zone.
or do it until they stop it.
Yes, indeed. They went back to that screen pass. Well, they faked the screen right, faked it left, and then you had Mercedes open across the middle. Did that probably 3 times and got something out of it. I think one time he got hit and the ball, you know, got the ball knocked out of his hands. But they went back to that play. Matter of fact, sitting up and they ran the same running play to Todman off tackle, you know, it was during the course of a drive, 3 to 4 times, 3 times, right in a row, boom, boom, boom. And he got good yardage on there, about like 5 yards, and they couldn't stop it. Yeah.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Tom on the south side. Tom, how you doing?
Doing good, fellas. How you doing?
Good, man.
Well. Good. Just a couple of things. The first and one play from the goal line, if the fullback makes that block, it's a 2-on-2 situation, and it's Todman against the cornerback. I like the call. Leonard just made a great play. Moving forward, is with such a young team that we have, I think the last draft that we had, we handled some key positions and need as far as cornerbacks, safeties, offensive line. Moving forward, I know there's this talk as far as quarterbacks go. Do you think that we make a move and draft another young quarterback to go with a young team, or do we test the free agency market and find a quarterback that is a veteran that plays at a higher level than what Chad Henne does? I'll take it off the air, guys.
All right. Now, I think definitely within the next 2 years they need to take a quarterback, but I don't think they're going to do it this year. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again this week, because if you look, with them winning games, they're moving themselves back in the draft. Right now, I think they would pick sixth, depending on what happens the rest of the year. If the season ended today, right now they'd pick sixth. And you look at the teams in front of them. You got Houston. They'll have the number one overall pick. They definitely need a quarterback. Washington, probably not. Tampa could go either way. Cleveland probably needs one. Atlanta probably won't take a quarterback. So you got at least two quarterbacks. The best two quarterbacks are going to be off the board by the time the Jaguars start picking. And that also depends on the rest of the regular season. If they went out, you got a team like Oakland that could get underneath them. Minnesota could get underneath them. There's some more teams that need a quarterback. You don't want to go reaching for the fourth or fifth best quarterback. You'll probably roll with Chad Henne again and fill another need, like another, you know, a pass rusher. Maybe you can get one of the top or the top two pass rushers in that first pick. So I don't think they're taking a quarterback this year.
Or trade some picks and get Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins a decent he's going through some games.
I think this is a year. One, I think the comment has been made by Caldwell that free agency is going to be a lot more involved in what's going to take place this offseason, more so than last season. So when you have players like Kirk Cousins that may be available, at least trade bait or some of that nature, you have so many picks that the team has, you know, I think it's going to be a very, it allows for a lot of strategy in this upcoming draft.
It brings up a great point, because Washington with that second pick, they don't have that. Forgot. They traded that away last year to get RG3, so St. Louis is in there. Would you, and I'll open up to the fans too, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, would you trade away your first-round pick this year so Washington could get back in for Kirk Cousins?
That's possible.
I mean, he played pretty well at the end of last year. Yeah. He played pretty well again today. He could be one of those starting caliber quarterbacks, and he's young enough that he could be a first-round guy and would make no big of a difference.
He's a legitimate quarterback. I mean, he played well last season. He came in. This is the first game out of, you know, for the season for him. I didn't see the game, but statistically, I think he had a couple of interceptions.
I think he had 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah, that's just knocking off rust, you know, for the most part. We'll see how he does, but he's a legitimate quarterback, and he presents an opportunity. So again, you know, it'll be a lot of strategy, I think. And this year, we're coming up on the draft.
Because it's not that far-fetched to think. I mean, I'm sure Washington would love to get back in the first round. The Jaguars need a quarterback. If the two best quarterbacks are already off the board, maybe they do that, saying, you know what, Kirk Cousins, we've seen enough of him. He's going to be our franchise guy. That would have been our first-round pick anyway, so it's not a big loss to trade away your first-round pick this year to get a guy like that.
Yeah.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Don in Orangedale. Don, how you doing?
Well, doing fine. Got a question about Sean Chappas, who you recently acquired. And my recollection of him is that if he had had that ball on the 1 yard line, it would take an army tank to stop him going into the end zone. What do you think?
Sean Chappas, how big is he? How much he
Chappas.
Weigh? Chappas, how much he weigh?
He's been signed from Detroit. He's now on the practice squad. He's a fullback.
Yeah, so he might not have been active. He's on the practice squad, then he wouldn't have been able to.
No, I know that. Right. I know right. that. But I think it would be good to get him into the act. He is powerful.
Well, that's the other thing, too. When you get so many new guys off the street, you have to be able to let them know the plays before you can make them active. I mean, you have only so many guys that you're allowed to have on the roster, 53. And look what happened today. You know, you're already playing with the backup offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. That backup, he went down too. So, you know, you need to strategically fill those positions in certain ways. And a guy that is a big, you know, running back might not know the plays. You wouldn't want to risk bringing him in as a just in case we need him on the 1 yard line. Now, maybe this game he would have helped, but maybe not. You know, maybe you never get the ball in a short yardage one to go, and you're just going to hand him the rock and let him you know, run over people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really take that risk, especially being down so many guys, especially being down Maurice Jones-Drew and Cecil and Chip and Will Rackley. You need those roster positions are now filled up with other backups just in case one of those guys goes down.
Yeah, you know, but to his point, though, you still have Tofoʻu available if you want to run a, you know, real powerful play right up the middle. But again, it's not as easy to just get 1 yard on that goal line, especially when you have your starting guard out. So it's only one side of the line. It was really strong. Matter of fact, the majority of those runs came to the right side. Whenever they had to go to the left side, that guard position where Rackley was missing gave up a lot of penetration. They weren't able to get a lot of good positive runs to the left side of the offensive line. So, I mean, they were limited, I think, in the interior runs, not so much by the running backs, but, you know, by missing one of the better, you know, one of the guards in the offensive line, which that's right there in between those guards. You got to have it be stout. You got to be stout in there if you're going to go punch it in.
Even with the backups, running game still looked pretty good today, got to say. 3-3-5-5-NFL-1-3-5-5-6-3-5-1. Taking more of your phone calls after this. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming back here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple Whiskey. Started Maple Finished. 3-5-5-NFL-1-3-5-5-6-3-5-1. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. And taking your phone calls, want to hear from you. And we're going right to Edward in Julington Creek. Edward, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I think that Gus Bradley is the coach of the year in the NFL, even with a losing record. They've got a team that is playing, I believe, one or two of their starters on offense in today's game. I think Meester, and I don't know if Mercedes Lewis was a starter at the beginning of the year because of injuries. And, you know, they're a competitive team, and they've got a real lack of talent. And now that they are playing reasonably well and playing a competitive team with a bad roster, you know, I think that free agents are going to come to the team, and they're going to do well the rest of the year.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think he definitely deserves to be in the conversation, but unfortunately, there are just too many good coaches this year that are going to win it over him. I mean, you got to start with Andy Reid. He, you know, Kansas City, they had two wins last year, just like the Jags. They're destroying, who they playing, the Raiders right now. That'll be their 11th win of the year. They have a chance to be the number one overall seed in the AFC when all is said and done. So I think he's hands down winner no matter what. But if you look at some other first-year coaches, just first-year coaches, you know, you got Arians in Arizona. They're 8-5 right now. Even the coach from Buffalo, they just beat the Jags. He's a first-year coach. He's 5-9. I mean, Buffalo's just as talent-pleated as the Jaguars are. And, of course, you got Chip Kelly in Philly, who they're division leaders right now, too. So I think all those guys are probably
Riverboat Ron down in Carolina. I mean, you got a lot of coaches that have done made some significant change. Well, their teams have you know, done a lot better this year. And I guess since we're down here, and you know, the Jags, you know, done a good job, but
yeah, he deserves to be talked about, especially the way they're playing in the second half of the year. But that, you know,
and hey, out in Philadelphia,
Chip Kelly,
you know, so I mean,
Philly only had 4 wins last year, and they're leading their division right now, could win their division to be a 3 seed. So, I mean, all those guys, you know, nothing against Coach Gus Bradley. I think he's done a great job, especially with the talent he's got. It's just there's just so many good coaches, especially first year coaches that took really bad teams last year and have really turned them around. He's just got absolutely no chance this year. 3-5-5-NFL-1, that's 3-5-5-6-3-5-1. Time to bring down the show a little bit with the press Saqib. Saqib, how you doing, man?
Come on, Saqib.
What's up, boys?
What's happening, man?
You sound a little happier than I thought you were going to be.
Let me tell you a few stuff, okay? First thing is, you got Mercedes Lewis at 6'6", maybe 6'7", whatever he is. Like you guys said earlier, throw him the ball, right? Mm. That's what one thing is. And I want to, Marco, you're a defensive guy, right?
Yep.
Explain to me, why is this defense going on so many 90-yard drives and 80-yard drives down the field? I mean, I am baffled. I understand we're missing a couple of guys, but it's been all year like that, that this defense cannot stop a lot of people. I mean, Gus is a defensive guy, and we still can't get something going that we can stop some teams. How many times have we allowed 95-yard drives this year? It's ridiculous.
Well, today it was about the penalties. They, you know, the pass interference plays.
About the penalties.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's big plays. It's not just they're just giving up too many big plays. When they were able to hold teams and not allow them to drive, which over the past in the last 3 wins, teams weren't able to have those long drives. They were able to get off the field, and that's because they limited the big plays. And today they had about 3 or 4 long, you know, 20-plus yard pass plays. And then also with the pass interference and the long plays to get them down there, they had some big runs. I mean, you figure, I think Spiller and Jackson both had a couple of runs that were, you know, 15, you know, 19-yard, 18-yard runs. Those are the type of things that get them down the field pretty quickly. Now, they're methodical. The only team I think that really methodically went down the field was the San Diego Chargers. And I would have to say, and probably Arizona. Those teams, those two teams really.
But even Arizona had one lucky play that gave them that 95-yard drive that they had. Yeah, you know, yeah, it was like one catch that really
but,
was
but,
it.
But they had several drives where they did hold on to the ball and move down the field, especially the San Diego Chargers. But, you know, and those are the type of things, the penalties and the big plays of what have allowed them. And when they limit those, they do a pretty good job. Teams aren't able to hold the ball.
And, you know, you were dealing with a young team. We got to remember this, that they let go of a lot of guys from the secondary last year, mm-hmm. and they didn't refill them with veterans or at least guys that have played a lot. They filled them with mm-hmm. basically rookies. They filled it through the draft. So you're going to have those growing pains of guys missing assignments, you know, maybe not necessarily remembering where they're supposed to be and knowing how to read mm-hmm. offenses very well right on the start because these guys are still young. And plus you have, you know, what do they call it? The rookie wall. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're already at that stage where this is the longest season they've ever had in their careers, and they get a little tired, you know, they're getting a little sore, the injuries are starting to rack up a little more. Mm-hmm. You got all that stuff to think about.
But at the same time, you know, rush-wise, those guys up front have to do a better job of maintaining their gaps. Today they got, you know, early on the first quarter, phenomenal job, everyone's exactly where they needed to be. But from that second quarter on to the rest of the game, guys in getting pushed past their holes,
Buffalo
out
the
of control.
Line of scrimmage.
Oh, they really did. It was, you know, it was gaping holes, and you know, guys trying to make these arm tackles. You can't do that against really good running backs, and that's what we're trying to do. Spiller and Jackson, too good a running back to not get your full body on them, and they weren't able to because they couldn't get off blocks and guys weren't in the right holes that they were supposed to be.
This would have been a good test. I mean, I know Jacksonville has done a really good job of keeping guys under 100 yards, but you have to figure you have two legitimate starters playing in the same game. So when one gets tired, you're bringing in another legitimate starter. I mean, both these guys could start on any team in the league.
That's true.
And they're playing on the same team. So you got consistently fresher running backs in your line. And if you could stop them, you know, you prove something, and the Jaguars obviously couldn't stop them, but it's the first time they've seen, you know, a double-headed monster. I think this, you know, you could honestly say this is the best running back duo in the entire league.
It probably is. You know, when they're healthy, they're probably two of the best. You're right about that, that's for sure. But you got to play responsible defense. It's all about doing your job. And today, in the latter part of that game, well, from the second quarter on, guys were getting knocked past holes, not in the holes they were supposed to be in, overrunning plays. And those are the type of things when you have those outstanding running backs that that'll kid, that'll give you 198 yards rushing.
But with all that said, all this, you know, as bad as they played against the run, as bad as they looked on defense sometimes, as bad as they looked on offense sometimes.
They had a chance to win.
They did, and it came down to two plays, the Denard Robinson fumble on the one and the Chad Henne interception in the red zone. Done. You even if you get field goals out of that, that way that last drive you have – you are in position where all you need is a field goal to win, so your play calling is going to be a lot different. You can afford to do, you know, 15 yards in the middle of the field because you can run up and spike, mm-hmm. and you don't have to worry about going the entire length of the field. You only have to go about 40, 50 yards.
Turnovers made a big difference
today. Especially with Josh Scobie kicking, what was it, a 57-yard field goal that only got about 11 feet off the ground.
You got to give him possibly some nods for the player of the game, you know, with that type of kick, that's for sure.
Especially early on when he wasn't getting a lot of kicks. And that, he might be hitting the leg wall coming up soon in the past couple games with how much he's been kicking. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're taking more of your calls after the break. Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, to get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Once again, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. More of your calls after the break here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. And this injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. One major one, Mike Brewster. Coach Gus Bradley said after the game, fractured left ankle, and with only a couple weeks left, his season's pretty much done. They didn't say it, but you got to figure any type of bone fracture, only 2 weeks left in a year where you've got four wins, he's probably done for the year. We're taking your calls at 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to Bob on the south side. Bob, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Wanted to get your guys' opinion on where you really think the Jaguars are, because, you know, the first 8 weeks it was obviously one of the toughest schedules against the very best of the best, and now I'm looking at some of the worst of the worst, so... I mean, I'm reading a lot about, oh, we're on our way, but are we really looking at it the right way here that, you know, with some of the teams we've played over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, it's a good point. We are playing pretty much at the bottom of the barrel, but a couple things you do have to look at. I mean, Tennessee we beat. They're still fighting for the playoffs. Arizona we lost to, but it was close for a lot of that game. There's another playoff team. They're not in the playoffs, but they're competing. And even Cleveland, when we played them, they were still in contention. There's another win. So it's not the absolute worst of the worst, but you're right. The second half of the schedule has been a lot easier than the first. And I can't say if we weren't playing a team like Denver or San Diego or San Francisco, wouldn't be getting blown out again in the second half. I mean, I do see a lot of improvement in the team. You know, in the running game in particular, they're running a lot better against decent defense. I mean, Houston, despite their record, has a good defense. And there are some struggling points still, like the offense scoring early and then disappearing for a long portion of the game and then maybe coming back towards the end. So, yeah, I think they're playing better, but they're not playing great where they can still compete with those Seattles and San Franciscos like they had to play in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you figure, getting wins in NFL is tough, regardless of who it is that you're playing. And to win games three straight in a row, you know, it takes a focus. It takes doing the right things. You know, they're doing the things necessary. They're beating teams that the good teams do beat, you know, bad teams. So, you know, by being able to do that, I would say you would put the Jaguars, you know, maybe not the upper echelon as, you know, those division-leading teams right now, but definitely a very competitive team. I don't think there's any team, including the teams that they played earlier in the season, that they would not be a lot more competitive now than what they were then. Everyone's more comfortable. They know their roles. They're a lot more confident. By winning, you get a lot of confidence. So I would say that the Jaguars are a lot more competitive team, and they're moving in the right. They are moving in the right direction. But to say that, hey, they're, you know, going to the Super Bowl right now, I wouldn't say that.
Would you say they're competing for the division or a wild card next year, the way they're playing right now?
They can, depending upon injuries and what type of players are brought in here and that during the course of the free agency. I'm not even going to say the draft because, for me, a lot of talk about the draft. Rookies is 50-50. I mean, I like to have a player that has a resume. You know, you bring in some guys that, you know, you have a higher likelihood of a guy performing at a level that they have done before. College players like Denard Robinson, I mean, not to single, well, I am singling him out, but.
Well, he deserves, you know, to be fumbling every other time he touches
exactly.
the ball.
Exactly, and then when you watch him in college, you say, this is a phenomenal football player, but here it is, he's not performing at the level that you would have thought he would, seeing his body of work
but
in college.
He was playing quarterback mostly. Then he switched to wide receiver. Then coming here, he's kind of switching to running back, but maybe wide receiver. That's hard to do.
That's the NFL. You know what I mean? You figure you have to adjust and play your role. He's been given opportunities. When he ran the ball, here it is. You know, when he had that ball going into the end zone, that's just like the plays he did at Michigan where he take the ball and just run, and he's in the wide-open field, and he scored on. Here it
he's
is.
He's a better athlete than everybody else, so he can just reach out.
What changes. It's not, you know, you figure athletically the speed of the game changes for these guys when they get into the NFL, then also off the field. How do you handle your time? So it's a lot of things that rookies have to adapt to that veteran players that you bring in as free agents are already used to, that can adjust a lot easier to the surroundings and I feel performance. So it depends on what type of players are brought in. But there's no reason why they shouldn't be competing for the division next year.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I always go back to these Houston games when we beat them twice. I mean, there's just something weird going on with Houston why they can't win, because they still have one of the top defenses in the league. And you see from week to week, I mean, they scored 31 points against New England, still lost the game, but scored 31 points against New England. No one would have any doubt that New England is a good team, and the Jaguars are holding Houston to 20 points in one of the wins and 6 points in one of the wins. So obviously they can score, and obviously they can score against good teams, so you have to give your hats off to the Jags for at least being able to stop them there.
Yeah, I mean, winning is winning. If you win in this league and you can do it consecutively, which they've done, you have to really, you know, say, hey, this team is not as bad as what people had thought early on. You know,
as much as we say that.
I still got them at 6-10. You got 2 games left. I think they can get these next 2 games. I really do believe that. I think that, you know, Tennessee is a team that the Jaguars, especially going into this, they're a lot more confident than they were the first time they played and what they were able to do. And, you know, with Indianapolis having things all racked up, not to say that they couldn't beat them with everyone in, I don't think that they're going to be playing, you know, so much for a win, but to get people out of there healthy.
We'll get into that Tennessee game coming up next in a little bit, because that's going to be a real interesting game depending on how the season finishes out. But we're taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going to Jacob, who was at the game today. Jacob, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
What's up, Jacob? What's up, Jake?
Yeah, I'm...
You got a question for us?
Who's going to be the new quarterback next year?
I think no matter who, whether they draft a guy or not, I still think Henny starts the season next year.
I think if you got A.J. McCarron, he starts.
I don't think you bring him in right away.
Or if you got Kirk Cousins, he starts. Yeah. I got two guys right now I know can come in and start.
What is his name, Marco Coleman?
Okay.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Yeah, I've seen too many guys come in. You have to be a real special player to come in and be able to compete right away, like an Andrew Luck. And you know these guys don't come around all too often. Most guys that do better sit and watch in a little bit, even if it's just a couple games. And I think Henny's a good guy. The way he's playing now, he's not going to get you to the Super Bowl, but he's a good mentor. He's been a journeyman. He's been around the league. He knows how to get it done. He knows how to teach guys how to watch film and how to prepare for the game. I mean, look at Denard Robinson. We just talked about him. Thinking you can do some of the stuff you do in college coming right into the NFL, when you can't, even if it takes a game or two, just to be like, hey, just watch the speed of the game and see it firsthand for yourself on the sidelines and picture each throw. What would you have done on this play? And then you go back and watch the film and be like, were you right? Were you wrong?
It's all about how you surround those young players. What do you put around them? You know, you talk about Andrew Luck and the way that he played. You got to recognize, he had guys that have gone to Pro Bowls and also won Super Bowls that were around him.
And look what happened this year to him when he didn't have Reggie Wayne. They went on that big.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing with Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson has played outstanding, but he had a defense that was going to make sure that he kept the ball. He had a running back. The Beast was a monster. And then he had some wide receivers.
He didn't have to do it all.
He does not have to do it all. And if you bring in a young quarterback, that's the key to their success. Not put them in a position where everything relies strictly on them.
Which here, it's probably going to be, because you figure Maurice Jones-Drew is not guaranteed to come back. He's the veteran you were leaning on for so many years. You got a guy like Cecil Shorts who wants to be the number one but hasn't proven that he is a number one. You don't know, even if Justin Blackmon can play next year, if he's going to be allowed back for the first week, because there's no guarantee that they can let him back for that first week of the season. So you don't know who's going to be your starting receivers. Those guys are unproven that are in there. You might have an unproven running back. It would all fall on a rookie quarterback.
Well, you get a guy like Kirk Cousins. Boom. There we go.
I would say he's more proven than anybody else, but I still like that idea. I like that idea.
You still got to have some weapons. I mean, it's regardless of what quarterback it is, you see Tom Brady, we can talk about how phenomenal he is, but he doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to, and he's not doing real well. And you can say how great Peyton Manning is, but, hey, let's step back and look at the players that he's had. And even in Indianapolis, he had Reggie Wayne, and he had Marvin Harrison. And you go now in Denver, he's got, Wes Welker, he's got Demaryius Thomas, he got Decker. It's not just about the quarterback. It's who he's throwing the ball to, and also who he has protecting him.
Put Peyton Manning in this offense or Tom Brady in this offense, you'd be like, look at him, he's got Cecil Shorts.
You would still have the same problems. You figure out.
I don't think so. I think those guys are good enough that they can make anybody around
them
better.
I'm going to tell you, man, Mark Brunell, 19-year veteran in the NFL, said it best, that at the quarterback position, it's the position that depends the most on other people. Because once the ball leaves his hands, if the guy doesn't catch the ball, then, that's all that he can do. If the guys up front don't block, there's not too much he can do. So he depends on other people, the quarterback does, more than any other player on the field.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Roger. He was at the game today, too. Roger, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Gentlemen, I thought that I enjoyed the game today, headed back to North Carolina tonight, where I live, and thought occurred to me that, continuity is important, and Chad Henne has surprised me that he's really kind of stepped up and done very well this year, and I'm just kind of thinking, with the weapons that seem to be appearing now, with Todman and whatnot, some couple of wide receivers, Brown, that if Chad Henne had an off season to work with some of these kids, it seems to me like it would be great for Chad Henne to have an understudy that had some real potential for two or three years down the road, and I think Chad Henne could be a winner next year with some a good draft class
at some of the kids that he's learning about right now. What do y'all think?
I don't like the whole Chad Henne thing. You got to remember, he played with these guys last year, too. He played with Blackman. He played with Cecil Shorts last year for a bunch of games. Doing it again this year, it's like, how long do you want him to play with these same guys? Now, granted, you got some new guys in there like Ace Sanders and Denard Robinson, but, you know, he's had his opportunities with the Mercedes Lewis. You know, he's had his opportunities with some of the main guys, and he's still the same quarterback we've seen year in and year out. He'll throw a couple touchdowns. He'll have a monster game out of nowhere once, and then he'll come back and throw three picks in a game and only 60 yards.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's limited. I think we've seen the best of what Henne can present to a team. And you know, granted, he doesn't have the best weapons out there in order for him to function. The biggest thing in this NFL today is that you have to have a quarterback, not necessarily that he can scramble and run, but he has to have some awareness and ability within the pocket. And Henne doesn't have it. He's not good in the pocket. He doesn't have the right awareness. He doesn't know how to spin out of the pressure when it comes. He doesn't.
Do you have to say he's looked a lot better on his feet lately? He's scrambling Henne.
He has looked better, but you know, but that's just not his strong suit. You know, it really isn't. So you got to have someone that just has a lot more awareness.
Who's running the read option with him now, man?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that was the call play. So I mean, just being able to handle things in the midst of the rush and create opportunity, create
22 yards rushing today. He almost had more than Denard Robinson.
Henne is I can't say I could get a sack now.
Move over RG3. Look out, Russell Wilson. Chad Henne is the new running quarterback in this league, man.
Baby. Yeah. I mean, it's in the past couple of weeks he has broke out and had a couple of runs. But that's just running, just taking it and tucking it,
what
running.
You,
but
what do you think his 40 speed is?
His 40, I would say I'd give him about 4.7. I give him 4.7. I think Chad's like about 4.7.
Lightning.
Yeah.
You got lightning, thunder, and legs Henne out there, man.
Chad 4.7.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going to Bob at the beaches. Bob, how you doing?
Hi, I'm Marco. I've got a vent about one of my 15s, and you tell me if I'm missing something. Every team we play runs about half a dozen naked bootlegs every game, and our defensive ends never stay home. And the quarterback has either all day to throw the ball or they run for a first down. It just seems like a fundamental thing that they would get fixed, but every single game it just drives me crazy. Is there I don't think, has stayed home on a naked bootleg in all year. I mean, am I missing something?
No, you're not. That happens quite a bit. That, you know, these guys are chasing a rabbit when any type of those fakes, and that's the discipline. Especially with Babin, you would think as a guy that's been in the league for a long time, I'll give Alawalo a little bit of a pass because this is the first time I think that he's played defensive end and those reads and the responsibility. And most of the time for him, he's on the tight end side. He's not on the open side like Babin and like Branch to where. When a block down, it is a simple elementary read, goes all the way back to college. You see the back of the court, back of the tackle. Yeah, you're supposed to be alert for the boot. So it is, and that goes to what we spoke on earlier as far as the gap control and the responsibility of the defense. And that's how you allow big plays, by not being responsible. And you're not mistaken. That does happen quite a bit. And that's something that, as a defensive line coach, they should be addressing.
Does that come with not getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback? These guys are getting a little jumpy and they're taking a little more of a risk, saying, you know what, I see him go down, I'm just going to guess that I'll go make a beeline for the quarterback instead of staying home and waiting there. And if you guess wrong, you're not getting any pressure. But if you guess wrong and they do the bootleg, he's out. Does that have anything to do with it?
Well, it's usually off of a run fake. So you figure these guys are trying to run and try to make a play on the other side of the line of scrimmage, where really – that's the other guy. That's your teammate's place. That's doing more than what you're supposed to do. You keep a good relationship between yourself and that tackle, but you don't allow you got guys on the other side that's supposed to make that play. That's not your play to make. You know, so chasing and running after that thing is irresponsible as a defensive end, and that happens quite a bit.
Stay home, wait for your responsibilities. Yeah, once that clears, then you can start running down the line.
You know, you create an opportunity. You get sacks. I got sacks by just standing home on a bootleg. You know, because it's just you and the quarterback. And if you got a guy like Chad Henne, you're going to get a sack, baby.
And if if a quarterback can make you look silly, then you're saying you don't deserve to be out there anyway.
Now, you're out there with RG3 or Cam Newton, then it's a little bit of a mismatch for a defensive end. But, like today, you know, E.J. Manuel's not going to kill you. He does a bootleg. And if you're out there and you're in the right position, you got an opportunity to make a play on him. So That it is irresponsible by the defensive ends on time, you know, at certain points of not staying home and recognizing that read of the boot.
Going to Brandon in Mandarin. Brandon, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the offensive play calling today. It seems in the first half that the team had to take a necessary timeout. It just seemed like there was some confusion going on. And then in the second half, the other timeout that they had to take, that eventually came back to kind of bite us towards the end. And I want to get you guys your take on that false play on from the 1 yard line. I was kind of wondering why they didn't just run it right up the middle. Hopefully, get that touchdown.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that earlier. You know, it's like you said, Marco's been saying it all day. When you have goal line and you're on the 1 yard line, they bring in the beefy package.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder for a small guy like Todman to get in there and get in the middle and just beat those other, you know, those big guys out. It's to your advantage to try to run a sweep and hopefully outrun those big linemen. Or, you know, you fake the inside, assuming everyone's assuming that you're going to the inside. Sometimes it works. When it doesn't, everyone's saying, why didn't you just stuff it in? Why didn't you even do a quarterback sneak? It's 1 yard. How can you not get 1 yard?
It's tough. I mean, because you got normally on that goal line package, you're going to have in both A gaps, you're going to have a tackle. And now you got to recognize on one side of the center, you had the third team guard. So the chances of penetration and trying to get up the middle would be pretty high with that defensive tackle going against your third string offensive guard. So on the perimeter, then also the strength of Todman. Todman is, you know, he did well in a couple plays in the interior on the draws when they had a nickel package out there where he removed a linebacker and brought in an extra DB. But his strength is getting on that perimeter. He has some speed. That's the strength of his talents, and I think they tried to make the most of that. They just got to just make the blocks on that perimeter. It's a tough play, you know, on the perimeter, but you see that happen sometimes.
Bueller Switch Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Switch Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. You're listening to the Scoreboard Show. We're going to wrap things up after this break here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Wrapping up for today, we've got Tennessee next. And what's going to make this game really interesting is last time we played Tennessee, they were, you know, pushed to actually win the division. They had an opportunity to beat Jacksonville with Indy losing. You're right there in for the division. That didn't seem to affect the game. Now, you know, they're about to go in and score or at least tie it up against Arizona. Again, they could be in position where they're on the outside looking in, but still have a shot to make the playoffs. So you got a playoff team coming in. But on top of that, the Jaguars looked dominant when Jake Locker was in the game.
Yeah.
When Fitzpatrick came in, it's a whole different story, and I'd say Tennessee won from that point on. Fitzpatrick's playing right now. He's probably going to be playing next week.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Jags win this game next week, or do they lose because of the way Fitzpatrick played against them last time?
Well, now, Fitzpatrick is definitely he's better at the quarterback position than Locker. And we saw that when he took over the game once Locker went out. So you're definitely going to have a different ball game. And the comments were made by the Tennessee Titans that they were embarrassed that they lost to the Jaguars. So I look for the Tennessee Titans to come in here with a little chip on their shoulder trying to get this win.
And I mean, that really knocked them out of the division because the win there, you're only a game out playing Indy next. I mean, they only lost to Indy by 3. Who's to say that game wouldn't have been a little more charged up if they would have won and known if they win this game, they're in the division lead?
Yeah, I think the Jags definitely want to bring the big boy pads in this one because you're going to have a team that's going to be looking to push them around. And with a quarterback like Fitzpatrick that can get things done, he's been playing pretty well. It's going to be a different ballgame.
He's been playing well, but again, it's like it's the Maurice Jones-Drew effect. You know, you're getting good numbers, but you're not leading your team to victories.
Yeah, you know, that's the case. They don't have an outstanding football team. But they are a better football team with Fitzpatrick in there at quarterback than Locker. You know, at least that first half or that portion of the game, when Locker was in the game, he was just throwing the ball to the Jags. Yeah. Fitzpatrick came in and was just taking them up and down
Lighting
the field.
Them up. Yeah, I mean, he's only 1-4 as a starter since coming in after that Jacksonville game. And right now, they got just took the lead with a touchdown over another playoff team in Arizona. Yeah, yeah. So they're still going to be alive, and there's going to be a chance for them to actually maybe go to the playoffs, and I'm sure that'll be waning on the back of their mind. Remember what happened last time we had a chance to secure something and came to Jacksonville? And
it's going to be interesting. This is going to be a really good football. I look forward to be a good game next weekend.
And then the game after that, the the season finale against Indy, where it could be the Jaguars versus all of Indianapolis' backups.
Yeah. Well, how about we give a real big good up send to, off to the a good send off to well to Mark Brunell. We haven't acknowledged.
You haven't even talked about Mark
about
Brunell.
The, you know, the induction into the Pride, my man MB.
Who's the next person that gets into the Pride?
Next person in the Pride, I would say, you know what? I don't know. I mean, you figure
Cardell, yeah, Jimmy Cardell, Smith.
Jimmy Smith's got all the numbers.
Marcus Stroud,
Donovan Darius. I'll say Donovan Darius. For me, I would say between Donovan Darius and Jimmy Smith, those two. I think those two.
I don't think they put Jimmy Smith in anytime soon. And the only reason why I say that,
he got an ankle bracelet on.
Yeah. Well, but honestly, that's the reason. The off the field stuff. And what does that say to a young Justin Blackman?
Yeah.
When it says you can just do whatever you want off the field. As long as you perform on the field, we're going to be honoring you. It doesn't set the good example for a young, impressionable receiver that you're trying to walk the straight and narrow. Now you can still use that Jimmy Smith example. Look, he's one of the greatest Jaguars of all time. He's not in the Pride of the Jaguars. Why? Because of his off-the-field stuff.
Well, man, you got guys in the Hall of Fame that have rap sheets.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know if you can – I mean, let's just go and talk about what happened between the white lines. You know, and Jimmy Smith, Mark Brunell even acknowledged and recognized that without him and McCardell, it wouldn't have been done. And you got to say, you know, Donovan Darius was a steady force in there the whole time he was there.
And
a lot of Pro Bowls.
I don't think McCardell gets in until Jimmy Smith gets in.
Yeah.
You can't put him in before Jimmy Smith, and you can't put Jimmy Smith in now because of the off-the-field stuff. I think eventually, as time passes, he'll get in. But within the next 5 years, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, Mike Hollis?
Maybe. I think once Brad Meester retires, I think he deserves to be up in the Pride.
I agree.
Just for longevity. If you can play the same position that long of a period of time.
On the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be up there.
I think longevity on a team. I mean, you figure Brunell played quite a long time here, but those, you know, like Stroud only played, I think, maybe 6-7 seasons. Well, I guess that's
long
enough.
What about Tom Coughlin?
Tom Coughlin.
As long as he's still coaching, he's
not going to go
anywhere. Once he retires, then maybe. So if he gets fired after this year with the Giants bad year and he doesn't come back?
I think he got to. I think he put the team on the map. He set the standard.
And, you know, he's one of those funny characters where when he was here, people are like, we got to get rid of Coughlin. We need a guy that's going to get us to the Super Bowl. And then he leaves and wins two. He's like, why can't we get a guy like Coughlin in here? What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really tough to say. I mean, guys that stand out that were superb, you know, players as Jaguars. Jimmy Smith really stands out as that guy. I mean, if you just want to look at the body of work as a player, as a Jaguar, forget about the off-the-field stuff. Jimmy Smith is by far – got to be the next guy, or Donovan Darius. Those are my two. I think Donovan Darius or Jimmy Smith.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show. We are here every week right after the jab. About an hour after the game ends, we come on the air and take your phone calls at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Plug it in your phone for next week's game, the season home finale against the Tennessee Titans. Thanks for everybody who called in. Thanks for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Marco, what's your Twitter handle?
MDC Live.
You get one tweet a year from him. I am JGray _ WOKV. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
Yo.